This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Get your motor
running. Fender Bender on Joy 94.9, revving up the weekends with news and views on all things motoring.
Oh, yes, hello. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. It is Joy's very own automotive program, and we hope you enjoy the hell out of it. My name is Tim Nicholson. A gigantic thanks to Luke and the gang for Critical Hit. They're going to be back next week, of course, with more gaming good times. So make sure you're back at 4 p.m. or rather 3 p.m. next week. In fact, you should be just in front of your radio the entire afternoon. Now, we've got a lot to get through. I've got two lovely boys here ready to get through it with me. We're going to celebrate marriage equality in America. We're going to talk about lots of things. We're going to talk about a car that will almost single-handedly resurrect Alfa Romeo. My name's Tim Nicholson. As I said, I am here with a couple of hunks.
And me.
Oh, come on. That's true. We've got the lovely Byron Matthew Darkus. Hi, Byron.
Hi, everyone.
How are you?
I am so pumped for today.
Oh, that's exciting. Yes.
Not only because I'm on the show, but because marriage equality. I've been married to my lovely Jim for 8 and a bit years. Mm. I know people go to jail for murder for less time than that, but no, it's been a happy, happy 8 years.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah. No, I'm only kidding, Jim. I love you wherever you are. He's overseas at the moment.
He is. Well, no, and it's very exciting news. Fionn Torr is also here. Hello.
How are you? Hello, listeners.
Well. It is very exciting news, isn't it? It's all happening.
It's a huge day. Yeah, it's massive. So we're all a bit excited in the studio.
Yeah. And let me say, the two best-looking men I know are in the studio. They're bearded hipsters that are Tim and Fionn.
Bless your cotton socks.
Looking good. So if you're watching us on the live stream, does that even exist?
No, it does not.
In my fantasies, if you're watching us in the live stream, well, I'm not wearing much at all. So
well, that's it. You do like a live stream, I heard.
So. Especially my persona. Maureen Glory.
So yes. That is your official drag name, I believe.
Maureen Glory. That's right.
And I believe
you were talking about resurrections earlier. And Maureen Glory's here.
Maureen Glory is here.
And Timothy, you have a certain name too, I hear.
I do. You can fly the friendly skies with Judy Free. She'll give you a discount.
Up and away.
That's it. But we do need some help from our listeners, I think, because Fionn Torr does not have one.
Deary me.
And we need to get him one. Now, Fionn, you spell your surname F-E-A...
First name F-E-A-N-N.
Yes.
M-O-U-S-C.
Surname T-R-R-R. So if you can come up with something interesting...
Text in.
You know, not too risque. I'm pretty, you know.
Yeah, you're a family man.
Pretty chilled sort of cat.
That's true. Yeah. So nothing too saucy. So if you do have a drag name for Fionn Torr, 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au. Whoever has the best one will have our respect. And we don't have any prizes.
And a brand new car.
Okay. No, Fionn. No car. Now, we do have a lot to get through. We're going to talk a little bit later about Alfa Romeo's huge reveal this week.
Speaking of brand new cars.
Oh, how exciting. Oh. We'll get into that later.
There's Can't wait.
So much to get through.
So much.
And I think, Byron, you're going to go through your hits and misses of Alfa's history and some other Italians.
And what a hit and miss. What a Eurovision selection of Euro trash as well as Euro glories.
Well, that's it. Mm. I do like a well-built Italian, if you know what I mean.
Oh, please. Save me.
Anyway, now moving right along, guys. So lots of stuff to get through. Yes, of course. And I think we are going to talk about a car that you've driven this week, a big one for Holden as well.
That's right. I went up to a snow farm to drive a Holden.
You did skids.
That is actually the second. I'll give listeners a clue. It's only the second Holden in history have turbocharging and four-wheel drive. I thought it was the first, and Holden told us it was the first, but last night we had a writer in at Wheels come in and let us know that no, there's been another one.
Oh,
four-wheel drive turbo guys, gals, if you
can, you name them both.
Well, I now thanks to our astute readers, but can you guys? Can the listeners out there?
0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au. So that is an all-wheel drive turbocharged Holden.
Mm. I. And petrol. Let's throw in petrol because we don't want any turbo diesel. Oh, people ringing up with turbo diesels, we're talking petrol.
I grew up in a very Holden-focused family and I cannot think of it.
Oh, look, Judy Free's confused. She's saying Holden Focus. Well, no, that's a Ford. Oh, dear me.
Judy Free's lost it.
Yes, she's lost it, all right.
I'll tell you what else is losing it, guys. The Nürburgring.
Huh?
Controversial. So we know the Nürburgring. How long is it? It's very long.
It's 20.1 kilometres or something like that.
Bonkers.
It's one lap is like, for the fast guys, it's about 8 minutes.
Yeah.
For me, it's about 12 minutes.
Have you done it?
I did it once. I did it once last year.
That's a bit of a dream.
It was
You've
a Megane.
Just gone 10% sexier.
It was in a French car.
Oh my God.
It was sexy.
Take me, I'm yours. Yeah, it was a Francophile than I am.
Yeah, and I didn't crash, so that was good.
Yeah.
But it's high speed. Like, it is crazy. Like, you go so quick. Before you even know it, and it was a Megane RS 275 Trophy R.
Ooh,
so
fun and games.
Yes. But anyway, what's happening to you?
Well, look, so a lot of these car makers, as we know, they put their car around one of the circuits of it. Is it the Nordschleife? I don't know how to pronounce it. Thank you. And they get a time, and then they brag about it, publicly. Yeah, yeah. So, you've got your fastest SUVs, which I think is still what are they called? Cayenne and blah, blah, blah. Mm. Anyway, fastest four-cylinder, all that kind of stuff.
It's the global benchmark lap time, if you like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, apparently the operators of said Nordschleife are shutting it down. Well, they want to shut it down.
Well, I frankly think that's a good thing, because...
Really?
It's made cars ride really, really hard when they don't need to be. And I know James May went on about this several years ago on Tap Gear, but I agree with him. It just means that a lot of suppleness has been lost in cars that should be more supple in order to achieve those kind of Nürburgring or, Nordska ring, whatever they're called.
Nordschlong.
Nordschlong.
Yes.
Yeah, the Nordschlong. Yep.
Like and a German schlong.
I don't care. Anyway, come to Australia and do your lap times around the Northern Territory because you now can.
Oh, wait. Chap laps.
Oh, look, that's
you won't
that's
get above
on.
9 kilometres an hour.
That's later on tonight, the chapel.
Yep,
oh, that's right. Yeah,
for those interstate listeners, that is Chapel Street, Paran, which is notorious.
It's a hip and happening place.
And it does not move. The traffic does not move. Throw a tram in there and what have you got? Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Oh, I'm a northern suburb. Oh,
yeah. Maureen
North.
Yeah,
Maureen Laurie, she's north of the river.
That's it. Well, no, Ligon laps maybe would make more sense. But anyway, so they're looking at shutting down. Unfortunately, it was because there was an accident a couple of months back and somebody died when they were doing something like this.
Tragic.
Yeah, so they're looking at it and going, they're not going to shut it down to the public. So if, Eufine wanted to go again and drive something around there, you could totally do that. That's fine.
Oh, cool.
But it's just the manufacturers, they're going to shut it down. And the next car that was supposed to be doing it was the Koenigsegg One, which is what, 1,000 kilowatts of crazy?
It's like $3 million or something. It's and they're going to build like what, 0.5 of them?
Yeah, exactly.
So expensive.
Yeah. Anyway, well, Koenigsegg have been shut down. I don't know how to say no in Swedish. Yeah. Is it Swedish?
Or nine. Yes. Well, it depends. You mean Swiss?
No.
Are they Swedish?
No, they're Swedish.
They're Swedish. Yeah. Swiss?
Yeah, no.
Well, I don't even know I'm in this show. I'm just,
I begin with S.
Yeah, really, because I...
Thinking of Roger Federer, I think. He's Swiss.
FedEx.
It's very similar to a car company.
Is Michael Fassbender... Is he Swiss? No,
he's Irish.
He's Irish and German.
But Fassbender name, that's got to come from... Nordic, doesn't it?
I thought he was German heritage.
No, it's half German, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fassbender. Which half? Him.
I like both halves, actually.
Okay, yeah.
I'll take all three halves.
Back to cars.
Exactly. We're getting distracted here. Now, some other exciting news this week. Ford Focus RS.
It's not all Holden today, is it?
No, it's not, is it?
Ford fans, get ready.
So the RS, which sits above the ST, so it's their hot hatch, that is going to be coming to Australia maybe next year, I suspect.
Has it been confirmed there?
Yes,
gentlemen.
It has.
I think the timing is still up in the air, but it'll be it'll be 2016 sometime.
And now they've released the power output, so it's going to put out 200.
We should put in perspective.
Yeah, please.
Okay, so
what is it?
Well, if you drive a Golf GTI currently,
cool car,
you'd be looking at maybe 165-ish kilowatts.
That's a lot.
And if you drive a Subaru Impreza STI, you're looking a little over, maybe like in the early
200s. About 200-ish.
Yeah, around 200.
Yeah.
And if you drive maybe, I don't know, a V8 Holden, you're looking at, starting at around, well...
get up to 300 plus, I guess.
Yeah, they can get up to 300. Yeah, yeah. So this is a four-cylinder, essentially front drive, but it's got all-wheel drive, but it is basically based on a front-wheel drive chassis. Mm. Please reveal to our listeners how fast or how many kilowatts he has.
The survey says 257 kilowatts.
Wow.
And that 440 newton meters of torque.
And there's an exciting element to this car too, because it borrows the Ford Mustang's engine.
Ooh.
So it's the four-cylinder Mustang engine. So it's not the V8, but it's a 2.3-litre engine. And yeah, it pumps out 350 horsepower. That's 257 kilowatts. That's a lot of power. Like, that's probably more than I need to get to the shops and back, really.
Possibly more, Mr. Nürburgring.
Well,
definitely.
Sorry, I don't want to name
What was your time, by the way, on the Nürburgring?
I didn't time it, but I think vaguely it wouldn't have been... It was... No, I don't want to talk about it.
Right. No. So we're going to leave Fian's ring alone.
Okay. Oh, okay. Right.
Thank
you,
guys.
Well, then I'm going home. So how much will... What's the projected price of this, Tim?
Well, it's gonna, how much is an ST now? So that's
and
about ST's 39.
39, yeah. So...
And the last
it's
RS,
anyone's guess, really.
Surely it'd be like 50 to 60.
The last RS was 60.
Yeah, it's 59.
High 50s, yeah. So if they sold this for 60 grand, it wouldn't be unheard of.
Yeah.
That is a lot of money for a four-cylinder hatchback.
But is it too much money for a four-cylinder hatchback?
Well, let's look at the other thing that was came out this morning, which is the AMG, what is it?
The S.
No. Yes.
The AMG A45S.
Yeah, so the A-Class, facelifted A-Class has been revealed today at Goodwood, which we're going to talk about very shortly. But yeah, briefly, how much do you pay for that in Australia? It's
85-ish, isn't it?
So for a four-cylinder...
Yeah.
You know,
people are paying 90 to 100 for that car because it's so hard to get, and they're willing to pay that extra money to go up the queue.
Jeepers
and
creepers.
Drop an extra $5,000. So to get one of these cars today, you pay 100 grand. If you don't mind waiting, you pay 85 and it'll take you a year to get it or whatever. But there's a waiting list for these.
Yeah, I think the waiting list has come down a bit. It's like 3 to 6 months depending on which one.
Yeah,
because I think
there's
a few of them and bloody, bloody, blah. So,
but they're popular. People love them.
I think people are going to spend money on it, and it looks terrific. People have complained about the RS maybe not looking as hardcore, but I looked at it again, and I actually think it looks brilliant.
Was it hardcore for you there, Timo?
I like to look at hardcore, but this I think this is just enough. I complained last week on the show about the 308 GTI not being a bit too sedate for my liking. Mm. Mike Costello said he was a fan of it because of that. So, I don't know. I think the RS Focus is just enough.
Yeah, and I think Ford has the heritage to pull it off.
They do.
Like, people will buy a fast forward because of those Escort RSs.
Oh, the Escorts.
And you know, those Sierra Cosworths and all those other fast forwards from years gone by.
That's very true. Curious. Now, we have got a lot more coming up, so let's get to it very shortly. But until then, here are some messages. You are listening to Fender on Joy 94.9.
Well,
I am sorry for that giggling. We just saw a fabulous text message.
Are we allowed to say what this means?
Well, look, I don't think Fian's going to embrace
Come
this
on,
one.
Come on, Fian. Read it out.
Look, before the break, we were talking about drag names. We have Judy Free.
Maureen Glory.
And Fian Tor. And we put the call out to our dear listeners for some names, and somebody has texted in anonymously, probably wisely, with Tor Mahol.
Tor Mahol. Is that like Tor Mahoney or just...
It's much the same. I don't think we're going to accept
Well, maybe, look, Fian will take everything on board and he'll decide tonight.
That's,
at 1 o'clock at the Circuit Bar.
Creative,
works best.
Bonus That's points true. Of creativity, and we'll mull it over.
We'll have a think.
Boner points for
We've had another text as well. We also put the call out for if somebody can guess a Holden that has had turbocharging and all-wheel drive, a petrol-powered Holden in history. Can you guess? And we've got a text.
From Craig from Tacoma. Or Tacoma.
Uh-huh.
Tacoma? Tacoma.
Craig, what's Craig saying?
You've got one of them right, mate.
Are we allowed to say now?
Let's wait. But you've got one of them right. So you win the glory already. But the more in glory. Yeah. But we'll see what how many more we get.
Okay. And again, if you think you know the answer, 0427 joy 949 or email onair@joy.org.au. A Holden with turbocharging, petrol power, and all wheel drive.
Well done, Craig.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
We'll reveal the answer later.
We certainly will. Speaking of Holdens, very briefly, now this week we've seen the reveal as well. It's been a week of reveals, lots of reveals, and there's lots coming up. Next week we're going to see the Audi A4, the Fiat 500. We've seen the facelifted Mercedes-Benz A-Class today. Mm-hmm. It's very revealing at the moment, isn't it?
It's a veritable plethora of new models, isn't it?
It really is.
The veils are being lifted.
They really are. And one was the Chevy Cruze this week. So now we obviously sell the Holden Cruze here, which is based on the Chevy Cruze, and that's built here, and obviously Holden's leaving us in 2017.
So. Well, they're leaving the manufacturing. They're staying here, and they're going to keep a design and part engineering and their Lang Lang facilities, so just to clarify
that. Thank you. Yes. No, I support that. But this Cruze has been revealed. I think it looks pretty good. It's just a little sedan. It's sharp styling.
I like it.
Yeah.
I'm down with it. Yeah, I think it's an improvement on the current one.
Same.
Current one's a bit old. I don't hate the current one, but it needs to be a little bit more.
I don't like that long face of the facelifted current one that's just
like a
come
double
out.
Grill. There's some weird things going on.
There's too much happening.
One of our compatriots, Ms. Maddie Brogan, on Facebook, put that picture of the upside down faced kid from Family Guy. You know, the son of the newsreader, and that's what it looks like.
That's pretty spot on.
Hiya, Maddie, if you're listening.
Hey, Maddie, how are you, buddy?
Love to Maddie Brogan. Now, what do you think, Byron Matsudakis?
Well, I think that there's a bigger story behind this car, and that is,
tell us,
are we going to see it in Australia? Because look, I totally agree with you guys. I think it's a neat, fairly smart update of a car that's been a massive success around the world and pretty much helped get GM back on its feet in many places. The thing is, we are probably going to be looking towards Europe rather than Chevrolet for Holden's answer to the Toyota Corolla and Mazda 3. So it may not come to Australia. Now, they're keeping mum on that, but the word is that we will probably be getting the next gen Astra in lieu of that Cruze, and we don't even know if they're going to make it in right hand drive. They've already said they're not going to make a couple of cars in right hand drive.
The Cruze,
such as the Volt isn't going to be run at right hand drive anymore.
Yeah, and if you don't have right hand drive, you cannot sell a car in
Australia
in large numbers.
And the new Volt is based on the new Cruze.
And they're not building the Camaro in right hand drive, they reckon.
Yeah. So, come here first for all the scoop motoring news.
That's it, indeed.
Fender Bender.
Disappointing, though, to hear things like, the Camaro, which would you think would do okay here? I don't think they'd sell as many as they would have liked, because I think the Mustang's a little bit less controversial design-wise, so I think the Mustang would sell a lot more than a Camaro would if it was here. I always don't know if it's Camaro or Camaro.
I say Camaro.
Okay.
But,
I think they both work. Yeah. I say Camaro, personally, but I reckon Camaro.
What about Chimera?
Chimera.
If I just start saying Chimera. Chimera. Yeah.
You Chimera.
Be still my beating heart. Well, speaking of Chimeras, Byron.
Yes, that's right. As Fian is alluding to, I used to own a Chimera fairly recently.
Yes, you did.
Until someone from a major manufacturer that isn't Holden bought it.
Really?
Yes. Because they have a secret love of underrated Australian cars, or the underdogs.
Wow.
And boy, there was a bit of bark to that car, wasn't there?
Wowzers. I will have to find out after the show.
Yep.
Yes, please.
I was just saying, and even in my next article in the next issue of a certain monthly magazine, I mentioned the Chimera.
Women's Weekly.
That's right. That's right.
Yes. It's my favourite mag.
I know. All of my motoring news comes from Women's Weekly.
Women's Weekly, yes.
Does it still exist?
It must.
Of course it exists.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Moving right along from Women's Weekly, guys. Now, Goodwood is on this weekend. Now, let's explain.
I think Goodwood's on every weekend when it comes
to you've got a bit of Goodwood.
Sorry,
you, Byron.
I'm not usually this money. It's more in glory.
She's taken
she's
over,
terrible,
quite frankly. Yeah. Now, what the hell is Goodwood, guys? Who wants to explain this?
I went once.
Oh,
and I went once.
Yes.
Well, you go first. It's a car festival, right, Byron?
That's right. But it's much
but more. There's
more,
yeah.
It's a celebration of pretty much just driving and motoring and the history and the heritage of what Britain represented in pretty much in the 20th century. But because there's no more English motor show, just like there's no more Australian motor show of the traditional sense, Goodwood has increasingly become a showcase for new models from manufacturers who aren't English.
Right.
Yes. So
Mercedes.
Exactly. Exhibit A class is the Mercedes.
Yeah. That was awesome.
That's pretty good.
So anyway, it goes over a weekend. Awesome. It is totally amazing. It's on twice a year, once
in June and once in September. One's a revival, and that's the one I went to in September.
That's where they race classic
cars. They race classics.
So it's a bit more motorsport, isn't it?
And they've got like old aeroplanes as well.
Yeah, there's an airfield, isn't there?
And it's just amazing. And it's if you've got petrol in your veins, you just it goes off.
Put it on the bucket list. It is phenomenal. Yeah.
My good mate Tim Smart put me a ticket there in 2009, and I still reckon that's one of the best motoring related things I've ever done. It's amazing.
This is going to sound a bit, probably a bit snobbish, and that's just going to be how it is. I feel like it's a bit of a classier car event. Do you know what I mean? Does that sound really wanky?
Not at all. Well, a little bit.
Well, no. Well, no.
Thanks for your honesty.
But you're right. It is a little bit, isn't it?
Do you know what I mean?
But it's A-list.
Yeah.
It's, A-list in the people that go there. Yeah, totally. Like, you don't see B-listers there. Well, I'm a Z-lister. But you don't see... No. You see, in the crowd, there are very famous motoring and non-motoring and entertainment and movie star
celebrities
in there. Yeah. So,
but it's also... It's not that kind of event like... I'm going to say Bathurst.
Not so much.
Do you know what I mean?
Is that where Judy Free was heading towards? I was wondering what she was going.
She does like getting on the Bathurst bus.
Well, I just feel like... Because I think for some people, you want to go to a kind of an automotive event, but you don't want to be surrounded by people that are a bit... Like, you might not like that kind of a rougher element or whatever, which is why, we talked to lovely Paul from Motor Classica, which I think is a really good example of that as well.
An elegant event.
Yeah. I know, and that sounds really awful to say, but, everything's just... People are a bit more respectful, I guess.
Absolutely. I can see that Motor Classica will, maybe in 10 years' time be like Goodwood. Yeah. Australia's Goodwood.
I hope it does. Yeah. I think it'll be great.
So...
Goodwood down under, you could say.
But yeah, Goodwood is a bit fancy pants.
That's why they pay duty free the big bucks.
Do they?
Yes.
Do they?
Oh, well.
I wish they did.
In kind, in lieu.
That's true.
In
who's,
the lieu.
Who's he?
In the lieu.
Now, also, very briefly at Goodwood, I'm not sure if we were aware of this, but they're celebrating 60 years of DS. So Citroën DS at Goodwood. Now, I know...
Where do we start?
Byron gets a little bit excited / sad, I think, when we talk about this. What's your favourite DS? What's your highlight?
Well, speaking of lights, I do like the early ones, which had the single light model. Now, we're talking, of course, about the Citroën Goddess, for those who don't know. Mm. The classic 50s, 60s French cars that used to rise and go down on hydropneumatic suspension, and who's my friend Chris Hanley. Hi, Chris. Refers to as the canoe is because he thinks they look like
they do a little bit
canoes.
Actually.
I can see that.
But they are simply, in my opinion, the most glorious mass-produced family car in history. Citroën DS. I'm sure there are people out there who've owned Citroën DSs who love them. I've had two in the past. I had to sell the last one. Because I had to, raise money to, just to put some food on my table. That's not true. I had to just sell it, but I wish I hadn't. And I will always want to own a Citroën DS 60 years ago.
Well, why wouldn't you? Would you look at buying one now?
Oh, totally. And I don't care what it is.
Would they be expensive nowadays? Do they hold their value?
They're really cheap. They start in good nick. They start from about $9,000 or $10,000, and they go really only to about $25,000 for the regular sedan version or the the Safari wagon.
Yeah.
But I mean, there are the rare convertibles.
Wait.
$150,000, $200,000.
Safari wagon.
Oh, yeah, Safari. They were calling it Safari.
So is it something you take on a safari?
Well, that's the thing.
I'm sold already.
You can
wear a safari suit. I can totally see you wearing
that's
a safari suit.
The Citroën DS. I mean, a lot of people still have very fond memories of those cars. And they are an absolute design icon. And that hasn't been surpassed. And as Tim alluded, Citroën use the DS name today for cars that frankly do not deserve that.
Yes, that's what you get a bit.
Controversial.
Byron gets a little bit testy when it comes to the
it's
DS.
True.
See, I think something like the DS5 is a stunning looking car.
I kind of like it.
But couldn't they use any other?
Heritage. If I was running that company, I would do exactly the same thing.
But it has to be as stunning as DS. There was only one DS before this. I mean, there were several variations, of course, and there was the facelift, but that car was pretty much perfection. And I would rate it still as one of the most beautiful cars in history, if not the most beautiful.
Can I add to that? So I'm a lover of 80s design, especially automotive.
Chimera.
Yeah, genuinely though. Our second generation Camaro, I was a big fan of, the SLE. We won't go into it, it's a long story. But the 70s/80s Citroens that were also quite
the
sweepy.
CX.
Oh my God.
Oh, yes,
and
yes.
You can get them in like Kermit green.
Yes, that's right.
And that makes me want to.
So those cars,
Shoop.
Yeah,
you know.
So that car there was what I consider a, you know, an appropriate replacement.
Yeah.
Ultimately, not as loved as a DS, and not as successful. I mean, in fact, developing that car pretty much put Citroën led them to bankruptcy and into their rival Peugeot's arms.
Mm.
But the CX was still very avant-garde when it was unveiled in 1974. It was, and I think that those cars in the future will become very collectible as well.
Yeah. That's something I would love to own, something like that.
Do, do you want to know something funny? Byron looks like Mark Webber when he talks passionately about Citroën.
Oh.
Isn't that interesting?
Does he? Yeah. Formula One, Formula One racer, Mark.
Yes.
Oh, I think you say Webster, but Mark Webber.
No, Mark Webber. Yeah. He's a bit of a hottie, isn't he?
Oh, well, he's I'm blushing now.
Oh, listen to
him. God.
There we go. You've made Maureen's day.
There you go.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
thank you.
True.
Thank you,
that's true. But we are going to go from France to Italy very, very soon. We are travelling across borders.
Across the continent.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Why not? We do have a message. Oh, not a message. I'm happy to announce that the lovely Julia from Surrey Hills has become a member of Joy 94.9.
Yay.
So
thank you, Julia.
A family membership. So, Julia, thank you very, very much for your membership. We do appreciate it. We don't run on nothing here. We do need your support. So if you feel like you would like to become a member, go for gold. You can do it on our website, joy.org.au. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. You have Tim, Byron and Fian here on this grim-looking Melbourne Saturday afternoon. You know, I was walking down the street just before when I parked my car and I looked up the street and all of the trees, none of the trees have leaves on them anymore. And it's really winter now, isn't it? There's no...
It's cold.
Yeah. I can't believe you went surfing the other day, whenever it was.
Last night.
Yeah.
Last night. Ooh, it was cold. About 10 degrees in the water.
Do you wear a wet suit?
Yeah, I've got booties, gloves, wetsuit, the whole thing.
What about a little nana, you know? Little...
I don't have the hat yet. A lot of blokes in the water did.
Did they?
Yep. Even the kids, there's a couple of grommets in there.
Oh, that's you got the lingo down and everything.
Mate, I was stoked. Yeah. Anyway.
Wowzers. Look, anyway, we are moving right along. We've gone from Paris to Berlin, you could say, but via
Torino. Turin.
Yeah, is that right?
Yes, Turin. Yeah, Torino or Turin.
It's true. Yes. What a week we've had. Again, we were talking before, it's been a revealing week. Lots of cars being uncovered this week. And the biggest, and I would say one of the biggest of the year, might be a big call, I don't know if I'm saying.
It just feels like the car industry is getting bigger and bigger every year. Like there's more and more exciting product come out. And obviously, Alfa Romeo have really dropped a bombshell.
Big one.
Yeah, well, I reckon this is certainly the most anticipated launch in 2 or 3 years, as far as I'm concerned.
Really?
And that is... You ready for it, folks?
I need a drum kit.
Elated to announce that the Alfa Romeo Giulia, the first rear drive Alfa in a generation, will be heading our way next year.
Oh my God, the Julia Louis Dreyfus.
She's doing three shows.
I've got to say that Judy. I was going to say Judy. Come, yeah, I remember
that should be
Judy Free. I remember you love Veep.
I do. I'm a big Veep.
That's
fan.
Another conversation. That's right.
Yes.
But back to the car. Yep. Alfa Romeo is taking on the BMW 3 Series, Audi A4, Mercedes C-Class, and the rest with a return to rear-wheel drive. Now, there hasn't been a rear-wheel drive Alfa Romeo in this size since the Alfa 75 left us in 1992.
Wow.
And Jeepers. That car was based on a 1972 design, the 116 Series Alfetta. So, you can basically say this is the first... rear drive Alfa sedan, pretty much in living memory or in a lot of people's living memory.
Wow.
So,
and why have they gone, you know, obviously the Audi A4 is a front wheel drive car. If you're creating a whole new model from scratch, I think the Jaguar XE is front wheel drive as well.
No, that's rear.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yep.
So I just thought that's a big decision for them to make.
Yeah. Well, like the XE, and it's easy to see why you thought that because, you know, that's where a lot of the synergies come when you share with other models.
People say they're cheaper and safer than front-wheel drive.
Yep.
But
But with the Alpha, Alpha has tried many times to break it, you know, to break the nexus, the German nexus between Alpha, I mean, sorry, Audi, BMW and Mercedes and failed. I mean, the 156 came close back in the late 90s, early 2000s. It was just a real return to form in terms of design.
The design was gorgeous. I did like that car. Yeah.
And you know, it had a sparkly, you know, the twin spark 2 liter engine was just a real pearl at a time when 4 cylinder German car engines in that range were rubbish. But you know, people never took it seriously because as a driver's car, because it wasn't rear wheel drive. But now Alfa Romeo has leveraged the in-house expertise of Ferrari and Maserati to create a platform base which may even underpin future Chrysler products. But for now, because it's Fiat Chrysler automobiles after all, but for now we've seen the first fruit of this liaison, and it is the Alfa Giulia. So, folks, we're talking about a car that kind of, in my eyes, looks a bit like the also rear drive Lexus IS from some angles, and yes, it looks like a 3 Series from others. But it's definitely an Alpha in the front, don't you think?
Let's go around the table, Timmy. What do you think?
Are we talking about design?
Design-wise, do you like... And if you jump on the web and it's spelled G-I-U-L-I-A.
Yeah.
Alfa Romeo Giulia. Giulia. Giulia, yeah.
I do not love it.
Ooh.
No. I find
Do you like
that,
any of it? Is there a part that you like?
I think that the tail lights are taken directly from the next generation Kia Optima. And I think the front end looks too much. And I just, look, I loved 159 so much as a design that I just think I'm a little bit sad that this looks so big and bold. I don't know. I initially I was like, oh yeah. And then I kept looking at it and I'm like, you know what? I think my official word is that I don't care for it. But I'll tell you what. So what we're seeing at the moment is only the quadrifoglio. Thank you. We need the person of that heritage in the room.
Hi, Mum. My mum's Italian, so...
That's it. But so this is the big sporty one, which we'll talk about performance figures in a minute. But so it's got all the bling and it's all
it's
very
the
sporty.
Body kit, the big wheels, big brakes. It's,
and those it's the frankly too much. Air intakes and stuff. And that's what it is. Maybe that's what it is. So I'm looking forward to seeing the Boggo standard version. And then I will make a decision. So I'm a no at the moment.
Byron, obviously. Oh,
duty free. Boreen Glory completely agrees with you. You
ooh,
to say.
Really?
I completely.
I thought you would be a fan.
No. Look, I'm.
So you
I
can
cannot
see it's
wait
important,
to drive it. We haven't seen the interior.
Yeah.
I can't wait to just, you know, to see that car in the middle. But right now, for me, it looks like it's got too much body kit.
Yeah.
Not enough elegance in style. In fact, to me, it reminds me of a car that it's really obscure, but it reminds me of a 2001 Seat Toledo, a Europe-only car. Wow. Like it was basically a Volkswagen Bora-based thing. Anyway, to me, it's nowhere near as sublimely elegant as, say, the Alfa 159 sedan, which to this day is still my drawer still drops. It still jobs.
Your drawers still...
My drawers still job. So that's what I think. So I agree. It's not the knockout that I wanted it to be, but I'll reserve judgment until I see it in real life and certainly when I drive it. How about you, Finn?
I'm going to disagree with both of you.
Okay.
I love it. One part of it I don't love, and I agree with you there, Tim, the front end. I think you've got to have that Alfa Romeo. It's sort of like a sort of triangle. Is there a name for that grille?
Is it a shield. It's shield. Basically the Alpha Shield.
Alpha Shield, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it bisects these two huge air intakes at the bottom. And yeah, I think the regular models might look better. But every other element of it, when I first saw it, I was a bit, but it's been a couple of days now and I'm really loving it. I do like the rear end.
Really?
I do love a good rump. and, you know, the flanks look pretty good too. And Tim, tell us about what's under the bonnet because this is gonna flounder a lot of people. It's got
this
a
is flounder.
What did I flounder?
Flounder.
What did I mean?
Oh, fishy. It's gonna
fishing.
This is gonna flummox a lot of people.
No, I don't think it's flummox. He reckons it's gonna knock you out.
Yes, it's gonna knock you out.
Come on, Mama.
Well, it's a twin turbo V6 that has been developed by Ferrari, but is it used in a Ferrari at the moment? It's not, is it?
It's not. But anything. Derived Ferrari, I mean, no other German mark can offer something like that. That is really
well.
Special.
It will be used, I think, on the upcoming Ferrari Dino, like the inexpensive. Ferrari. This is this is what this what the rumor mill says. But I'm not. Look,
well, Maureen's.
But bring that. I don't ever listen to rumors.
She's got her finger on the pulse. That's what I.
Twin turbo Ferrari derived V6 rear drive.
Yep.
Bring on a manual. That is going to be epic.
Let me tell you though, what's the power again? 380 kilowatts.
Okay, so
that's
more than 100 more than that Focus RS, which is already crazy. That is.
And it's already way more than the M3.
Yep.
Or the HSV GTS.
Yeah.
Oh no, GTS is a bit over 400. So it's not quite the supercharged.
Oh right.
Yeah.
40 something.
But it's Audi close. RS4.
That's right.
Mercedes-Benz C63 AMG. It easily outpaces all of them.
Yeah, that's right.
I guess the thing is, though, boys, what is this car going to do for that brand? So at the moment, in Australia, they have the Mito, which is a light car, care for.
Pretty average. Although the twin air version has a bit of...
it's got some character.
Yes.
But Jesus, yeah.
Yeah, I need more than character. Yeah,
it's a do-or-die car. If this doesn't...
Do you think?
I think, yeah. If the Giulia doesn't...
Fire
in a sales... sense. I mean, it could be an amazing car, but simply put, if it does not sell, it could be a tough time for Alfa.
Well, this is a car that Alfa Romeo said they're going to burst back into the US market with.
Exactly.
So it will have a potentially much larger pool to play in. Yep. But then, of course, the risks are greater there because it will require a lot of investment to relaunch that brand in America.
Good car to do it with, though. That's a pretty hot little engine.
Yep, it is.
And given they still love a reasonably sized sedan in that market, so you're right. I mean, you have the 4C, which is the sexy little coupe, but obviously that's niche. That's not going to sell very well, and it gives them that kind of hero car, but this would actually sell in reasonable numbers. And I believe, and you guys could tell me if I'm wrong, that this is just the start of their model onslaught, and it's going to be a couple of SUVs. The
SUVs
Mito will be killed off,
is
my understanding. And I don't know what happens with Giulietta.
Look, the word is that they may even abandon this kind of bottom end of the market altogether.
That'd be a bit sad.
And leave Fiat to fish there on its own, which kind of
makes sense.
Look, if you're not making money on those cars, then I guess, you got to make that business decision.
That's why they upped the darn price of the Giulietta, because they want to go premium. And it's like, well, yes, but you've sold that car at much cheaper price.
And it was always a better car at the lower price, that base model. But by the way, folks, Giulia name is a hallowed name in Alfa Romeo history.
Yes, please.
Yep. Just to let you guys know that it was in 1962 it came out. Launched a family of spin-offs, such as the 105 coupes that people love. And then, of course, the Spider was built off that same platform. So Giulia has real heritage. So this isn't just some random name that they've pulled out of their posterior. This is definitely a car that has a tradition and a focus. Just as a quick side point, in the 1980s and early 90s, Alfa Romeo was selling something like 250,000 75s.
Really?
So it was up until the end of that. That many a year. I think that many Alfa Romeos, not just 75s, but others as well. Mm. And nowadays, they barely crack 60 or 70 globally. Yeah. So Alfa has got the runs on the board. They in the past. So they can do it again. And I think this is, to Fiend's right, this is probably the car to do it.
But are people going to, there's the people that love that brand, and I get that, but are there people that are going to get out of their Mercedes-Benz C-classes and, BMW 3 Series, are they going to get out of that car and get into this, or is this just a different buyer?
Maybe not. I get a feeling they'll need something even more special on top of an awesome engine, awesome looks, awesome dynamics. I think it needs to be specially priced. They might need to put some new fandangled technology in it to hook people. Yeah, I think it's tough to get people out of the German brands because they're well loved.
Well, I actually disagree. I think that the fact that it's Italian has a Ferrari connection and can compete with them dynamically on that rear drive kind of basis with the performance where we already know that he has the performance to. That just might be enough to get people in. People, I think we're getting to a point of saturation with the German brands. They're everywhere. And I mean, often they're better than ever and sometimes they're not. But
that's the problem. They are very good cars, the German cars.
And there's that reliability thing as well, though, because, Alfa Romeo has a reputation.
True or not, that plays a part.
For being rusty.
Yeah. It absolutely does play a part. And people will still think that, even though there might be, all of those problems might be well gone, but you can't just, that won't just disappear overnight. Mm. So they've got such a challenge.
Yep. Ahead look, of them. I've been contacted by readers and who are saying, look, you know, we can't wait to see the Julia this week, and when they've seen it, you know, some have been negative, some have been positive, but at least people are talking about it, and it's been hitting the, it's been trending really highly on the social media, on the general social media network. So I think there's a real appetite for something like this.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it went gangbusters on our social.
Did it?
Yeah, that's a technical term.
Yeah, that's very true. Now, we've got a little bit more coming up on Fender Bender, so make sure you stick around. Oh, look, we've had some dancing in the studio, let's be honest.
Kim it's been Wilde.
A little bit of dancing.
Put the demister on, the windows are foggy.
Yeah, yeah. You had a bit of a boogie, didn't you, Byron?
I did. You know, people love to keep us hanging on, and I hope they keep us hanging in there.
That's true. That was incredible segue. Thank you. Yes, we would love to thank Elizabeth from Carnegie, who has become a Joy member. Elizabeth, thank you so much for your support. We very, very much appreciate it.
Yay!
Thanks, Joy.
On you.
Now, Byron, really briefly, we do not have a lot of time left, but you were a bit of a snow bunny this week, is that right?
That's right, yep. I was flown to Queenstown. I thought, I've gone to my Nevada at last, Queenstown. And let me say, folks, if you've ever been to Queenstown, it's equal of any Norwegian fjord.
Wow. This is the New Zealand Queenstown, not the Tasmanian Queenstown.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yes, New Zealand Queenstown. That's right.
Good point.
Indeed. Thanks, mate. Yeah. To drive the car that we were saying earlier the only all-wheel drive turbo petrol Holden. Well, the second.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was the 1995 to 1997 Calibra 4x4 turbo, which they sold about three in Australia.
Yes, yes.
As was pointed out to me yesterday.
I still love that design.
Calibra, that is a cool car.
Yeah.
And this one is a successor. Well, it's down the family tree. Mm. The Calibra turned into many other cars. And today it's sold as the Holden Insignia VXR. Yep. So it is the facelift version of the Opel, the short-lived Opel Insignia OPC. We're talking about a 239 kilowatt, 435 newton meter, 2.8-litre turbo V6 made by Melbourne in Australia, Melbourne by Holden.
So the car's from Europe, the engine's from Melbourne.
Australia, that's right.
That's cool.
Yep. And this is a car that Holden is pitching against the Subaru Liberty 3.6R, which is selling its Mandris.
It's a fabulous car. Mm.
And the a little bit more ho-hum Volkswagen CC 3.6.
Mm. What's it like?
Well, what's it like?
Is it kick-ass?
Well, look... You know, I did my homework, and Holden hasn't had a performance mid-sized car that really you know had this level of kind of ability since the Tirana V8s of the 1970s.
Ooh.
And it certainly hasn't had a body kitted kind of sporty looking car since the SJ/SLI Camaras of the 80s.
Oh my God.
Yes. So what's it like? Well, look, I think it's great value for money. It really has a great engine note, a beautiful interior. The car is really handsome. It's not really a driver's car. It doesn't connect to you, but it's a great GT kind of long touring car. And, oh, by golly, you know, at last, a mid-size Holden that's not a Malibu or an Epica or a friggin' Apollo. No offense. You know, all those rubbish or non-Holden Holdens that...
Yeah.
Look, bring it on, I say. And at $51,990, it's a bargain. You get a whole bunch of driver assist technology. And, you know, don't buy a Japanese car. Check out the Holden Insignia VXR. That's what I say.
And you drove it on snow too, didn't you? You went to a snow farm.
That's right. And
Lucky you.
Yeah, it's so much fun. Sliding around
and all that white stuff.
On that way. Oh, that's right. I felt like I was back at Studio 54. That's right.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, on that note, we do have to shut it down. So, Fionn and Byron, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us, handsome.
We will totally see you soon. Thank you for listening, one and all. We do appreciate it. Please come back next week at 4 o'clock for another edition of Fender Bender. My name is Tim Nicholson, signing off. Safe driving.
This has been a Fender Bender podcast for Joy 94.9, Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station. See joy.org.au for more details.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.